Welcome to the Cup of Joe Wrestling Show.
Cup of Joe Wrestling Show.
With Joey Harris. A podcast for the wrestling fan on the go. So take your favorite beverage of choice and join Joey as he takes a look at some of the biggest shows on the WWE Network.
To the Cup of Joe Wrestling Show. I'm your host, Joey Harris, doing something a little different this week on the road. I'm in Philadelphia for WrestleMania. I'm sitting here with my buddy Tyler. As we record this, it is Sunday, April 7th, about midday. So we went through WrestleMania night one last night. First of all, Tyler, thank you for doing this.
Absolutely.
I was telling you before we started just all of the things that we were going to do and just the craziness of Friday. I left Virginia, my home, at 7:30. I was a little bit late, but I had given myself plenty of like lead time to get here. You messaged me around 9, I guess it was, maybe a little after 9, that you were at the airport in Maine. You flew out of Bangor. And then message me that you were on the plane. Now, anytime anybody knows who flies, usually you are able to do that. If you get on, you're able to quickly message someone, and then pretty quickly they want you to put your plane either off or on airplane mode. But sometime after that, you sent me a text and said, we were delayed. There's been an earthquake. And I'm like, what? And I just so happened I had stopped for a restroom break at that time. So I went, did what I had to do, and then pulled up the news in this like 4.7 quake in the New York, New Jersey area. And you're like, yeah, we're still on the tarmac.
Yeah. So get boarded on the plane, sitting there. We do the back out. Mm-hmm. And we're sitting there, and we're sitting there for a while. And, you know, we're kind of wondering what's going on. And then the pilot comes over the intercom, the radio. And he goes, sorry for the inconvenience. He goes, there's been an earthquake in New York and New Jersey, a 4.7 or 4.8.
Yeah, something like that.
I can't remember what it was. And he goes, it knocked out the radio towers in Newark, which is where my first flight was flying into. And so that's when I texted you and let you know. And no information time-wise had been given. So I was like, I'll keep you updated. And I think it had been, roughly half an hour, 45 minutes. We got like another update that still the radio towers were out. But we had been sitting there so long that we had to pull back forward to refuel the plane.
Right.
And so then we back out and he goes, It was like a maybe 20 minutes or so. He was like, I think we're good to go. So then we pull up to the, you know, the actual, we go up where we're going to turn and then take off. And we sat there about 10 minutes. He's like, yep, we got the good to go. And then, you know, took off. And
right. You know, and then, I'm still making my way north to Philly, pulled over for lunch. And I told you I grabbed a cup of coffee next door and was getting updates from you. But was also checking news sites and social media and all that. And everybody else was having the same troubles, whether they were driving or flying or what have you. That just, it knocked everybody out because either they couldn't leave wherever they were going or they couldn't get to wherever they were going. A lot of people were flying into Newark or traveling through. I finally get here. I was a little bit late because of traffic. There was a few slowdowns, and it seemed like every time I stopped to bring me back, it was taking me a different way. It wasn't taking me back to get on, but still, like, I could have gone that way or I could go this way, and it was like 1 or 2 minute difference. I said, I'll just keep going the way they tell me to go. Finally get here, get checked in. I came and got checked in and then went to grab my stuff. And as I'm coming up, I put my stuff away and I was coming to get you. You had finally, you arrived and you're like,
well, before we go there, I think people should know I was actually going to have a 3-hour layover.
Right.
But right. Because of the earthquake, when I landed in Newark, I only had to wait like 35, 40 minutes before I got on to right. my next flight into right. Philly, which was only a 10-minute flight. And then from there on, it was just like...
Yeah. I'll say that you flew into the two craziest airports that I ever fly in and out of, especially when I lived in Maine. Newark just seems like there's just a lot going on. When I flew into there one time flying back to North Carolina, flight was on time. Second flight, boarded on time, was leaving on time. But there's a like schedule of planes departing and you just get on there and it seems if a cup flies across the tarmac, everybody is stopped. And we were just in line. Like you could see people taking off. We just had to wait. But finally you got here. And the Philadelphia International Airport is a wonderful airport. They've always treated me well. I don't have anything against them. It just seems like whenever they made it, they stretched out this whole area and they're like, we're going to use every conceivable square inch and put everything as far apart as we can.
Right. And that was like I had no problems like navigating the Newark one because it seemed like it was big, but it was like more simplistic, like right. in my opinion. But once I got into Philadelphia in that airport, it took me a good solid like 15 minutes just to get outside because I just could not find my way outside of the building.
Right.
And then when I finally did get outside, you know, and I called you to pick me up, like I had no idea where I was. And it took us a good like, what, 15, 20 minutes for me to find where you were at.
Yes, I went around the airport twice. The first time, I took a kind of a wrong turn and I was doing I think I accidentally went to the departures and I'm like, he's not going to be here and it would take you more time to get around to there. I said, but if I kept going, it says back to the airport. So I just swung around and I went to arrivals and I didn't see you. And I said, I'm not going to do this again. So for somehow I got turned around or no. I didn't see you. I kept going to where you said that you were. And I said, I don't see him, but there was the short-term parking there. I said, if nothing else, I've got the money. I can get a ticket, park, and even if I have to get out and find, if I have to find you. But after that, relatively speaking, it was not that long because when I left, they only charged me $5, which means I was there for less than 30 minutes.
Right.
Finally get back here, you unpack, you know, unwind some, we catch up, talk about some different things. And then we went out and my brother-in-law had given me a gift certificate to Geno's. So that's where we went Friday night. And everybody I've heard this from, and folks, I don't want to hear it anymore. I know it's the touristy thing to do and there are better local mom and pops. So I get it, but it wasn't bad. I thought it was really good.
No, it was good. But for it, my second time going there,
right.
I went there back in 2011, my first time coming to Philadelphia.
Right, right.
But it's a tourist place to see. And, you know, it's a famous, a Pat and Geno's. It's like, so it's like you have to almost go there to visit it.
Right.
In my opinion. And we were both, you know, happy with our cheesesteak. You know, we sat outside. It was a little bit chilly that night.
But that is the one thing I have heard from everyone. It's just so cold. Even though it's early April, it's also you're headed towards you're in the Northeast. And from Maryland up in April, it gets cold. And other places it gets cold. But we did that. That was fine. Then took an Uber over to the WWE Superstore because I said, it's going to be crazy all weekend. Let's take advantage of this because you knew that they had SmackDown and they had the Hall of Fame. So when we went, it wasn't bad. We walked right in and there were people there. I mean, it wasn't empty.
But it wasn't hard navigating.
It wasn't hard navigating.
And you didn't have bumping into people and whatnot.
Right.
But no, it was a nice shop. The only downside to it is, you know, it seemed like all the sizes of shirts that I was looking for were sold out.
Right. Right. But that's a small thing. And they had some really nice stuff, but they've got really nice price tags.
Yeah.
But worth it, I think. Like, if you're going for an Undertaker autographed item, you know that's not going to be $10.
Right.
You know you're going to spend some money.
And for you, those of you listening, I am a huge, huge Undertaker fan. And Joey can attest to this.
Like, right.
I take a bullet for that man.
Right.
You know, there was a signed Funko Pop there, and I would have bought that Funko Pop if it did not have that beautiful price tag that it had.
Right. But I got a jersey that at first I was not going to get, and I walked around again. I said, you know what? It only happens once. And they had one that was in a size that I could wear. In fact, it's a little big, but I'd rather have big than just tight and you can't move.
Right. And you get to treat yourself too. I mean,
right.
This is a massive event for both of us.
Right.
You know.
And I got the Night One poster. It's in nice plastic so that at least I can transport it back home and put it in a frame and stuff so it won't get messed up. And then everybody who knows this is the Cup of Joe Wrestling Show, after all, I'm a huge coffee drinker. I got the WrestleMania mug, which is a really nice mug. And it's got a wide handle, which I enjoy.
It's a very beautiful mug.
Yeah.
It's well done.
So we come back here. We kind of unwind. Yesterday, we did some touristy things, went down and saw the Rocky statue and did the Rocky steps. And we both said we wanted to go to the top, but we weren't actually going to like run it. We ran it a little bit because you get on there and you get kind of motivated to run up.
Right. Yeah. And you just get in the zone.
Right.
And we both did. Yeah.
Yeah. And then went and walked down, you know, down in that area a little bit, went into the free library to just rest for a while. Cause again, the wind, the weather overall is nice. And we were talking about that, like living in Maine, if it's nice and it's very low weather, but there's no wind at all, it's very nice. If there's the slightest breeze, it's just bitterly cold. And so then came back to the room, got Uber Eats to all that, and then got ready. We left for Lincoln Financial Field a little early because we wanted to get down there. I had put in one lot that we thought it was going to do. Google Maps took us away that was kind of blocked off, and they said, go this way. I misinterpreted it and like was driving away, but Google's like, hold on. And it took us like 7 or 8 miles out of the way. But when we turned around, we were in the exact right place when we got back.
Right. It was like in that moment, it was like, darn, we messed up.
Yeah.
But then it actually ended up working in our favor.
Right.
So which was nice, actually, because then we didn't really have to fight to get there as much as I feel like we probably would have if we would have followed the sign direction of where to go.
Right. And so ended up, we came in, parked in lot A2 in a really good spot, open. There was nobody around us at the time. And we got there before the doors opened, and just sat and people watched. I let my wife know that we had arrived and were parked. And we saw a lot of different people. We saw people dressed up as the Headbangers.
Stone Cold,
LA Knight, and just people barbecuing and doing different things. It was just a really good time. And then it got really close. I think doors open at 4:30. We left the car at 4:20.
Right, yeah.
Probably about a 10-minute walk back to where it was, just because there were so many people there. Stand and Deliver was over, and they were setting up for the pregame, the kickoff special there. Went through, wasn't really hard getting through there. They were not letting people up the steps to the actual stadium to where people could go until about, was it five?
I don't remember exactly because I didn't check the time, but I do remember the stairs were gated off. Like they had
the gate off.
And, but the second that gate opened.
And if you go on Instagram, on Triple H's Instagram or WWE's Instagram, you can see that moment from the top of the gate. They put up the moment that they opened the gates and everybody went up. And even then, it took a while to get up those first set of stairs. But once you got up to the top, everybody kind of went their own way. And us trying to get for night one, we were in section 244, which if you watch on Peacock, where the hard cam is, that's where we were. We were like one or two sections to the left of the hard cam.
Right, where the wire is, where it's like into the ceiling of the stadium.
Right, the wire where the sky cam was for the shots, one of those wires was right by us. So I told you, I counted, it was 130 steps up there. I counted them on the way down. Got there. We found the right section. We went up the wrong side. So today, we'll remember. I'll look wherever our seats are. And we're closer to the end today. Right.
I think we are on the end, aren't we? Because they're 26 seat rows.
Yeah.
Okay, because I'm pretty sure we're 25 and 26.
Yeah, correct? Yeah. I think you're right. Which will be good. Other than if people are coming that in, we will constantly be getting up.
Right.
But that's okay. That happened last night. A few times we were 7 and 8, and a few times we had to get up, and I had to go out to use the restroom. But everybody was cool in our section,
right? And they were polite. You know, every time we got up, you know, excuse us, sorry,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
They're surprisingly, you know, polite.
We were also, if you, I don't know if they would show any of this, but if for some reason, folks, you see it, we were right. I guess behind and above the guy who was playing the music when you came in. He was the DJ at the bottom. The setup looked awesome.
So I'm a football fan. I'm a Patriots diehard fan. Mm-hmm. But I will say the Eagles colors are some of the best colors in the NFL.
Agreed.
And that stadium being that green and the green light up and everything, it was beautiful.
Yeah. So we got our seats, we got settled, then we decided, I think you said, and then you were exactly right, let's go ahead and get something to eat and drink so we can get back before it starts. And that was the perfect thing to do. I got the crab fries, which were excellent. A soda in the collector's cup, and then an extra water because I knew that it was going to be like that. Did you just get drinks?
Yeah, I got the special drink, the cup. Then I got the Pure Leaf
tea. Yeah.
And then I got a water, and I only went through my soda, and I only drank like about half of the water.
Yeah. Yeah. I had told you this, went through there, and just because of my surgery and everything, I always miscalculate how much I can drink. And I had drank before then, so it was getting close. They had introduced Samantha, and she was starting to bring people out. And I'm like, I said, it's 11 minutes to 7. I said, I got to go to the bathroom. I was just going to hold on. And you're like, go ahead and go now.
Like, you have time.
Yeah.
You know, so you don't miss, like, an important thing.
They, as I was going down, they were introducing the Spanish announce team. And then halfway down, they introduced Michael Cole. And when I got to the bottom, they were bringing out Corey Graves. And so I went out and I told you they were showing the actual show, the pregame on the monitors, and the sound for the pregame was on there. So I was listening to everything on the pregame, and I saw Pat McAfee. They did show him being introduced and coming down. but was able to get through, do everything I needed to do, and get back before the start. And then we kick it off. They welcome us. Triple H comes out and got a huge response. And like we both said, we both feel like well-deserved for that because of what he has done.
Very much so. And I think being there in person, like in that little time frame that you described between you going to the bathroom and like coming back, it was like a matter of minutes and that stadium filled up. Like it was fast because there was points, you know, between 6:30 and 7 where you could look around in that stadium, like you could just see chunks that were empty. Mm-hmm. And even the section behind us, well, I looked back and it was like that whole entire section was almost empty. And then Triple H comes out and then you just look around. It's like, holy crap. The stadium's filled.
Right. And they did the welcome and all of that. National Anthem was saying, I think National Anthem was saying, then Triple H came out. But we get started off big time with the women's championship, Rhea Ripley versus Becky Lynch. Now, to me, most of the night, I feel like a lot of the times it was not an either or thing. Like back in the day, if you had, say, Hulk Hogan versus Andre the Giant, you may have a sprinkling of Andre fans, but it's mostly Hulkamaniacs over there. This was the most like that. There were Becky Lynch fans, but that crowd was way more into Rhea Ripley.
Yeah, like the ambiance of that arena when Rhea came out just was unbelievable.
Right.
Like how many mommy fans and like the chants and everything that we heard was incredible. And I think from my perspective, that's kind of like the best part of WrestleMania.
Right.
Which we were, like, I personally am not a fan of Becky Lynch, but when her music hit, you are on your feet.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Like, this is awesome. This is better than watching on TV.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And the match was pretty good. They had some really close falls and close counts and two counts. An amazing just series of moves.
Right. I think one of the things that impressed me most about the match was just like the dominance of Rhea. That triple powerbomb sequence, mm-hmm. that was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
That was like one of the highlights of the match for me that I thought was amazing.
And I looked up this morning, they said they went 17 minutes and some. It never seemed to drag to me.
No. I can't even put it into words. Like just how you're going into watching a match where you only care about one of the opponents.
Right.
But then like that spike DDT from Becky onto Rhea, that was amazing. Like that was like a moment that we were both like, holy, like to see it in person and, mm-hmm. and hear the, just like the ring making it sound like that. It was amazing.
Right. Right. You have any other thoughts about that match?
I really liked when Rhea put Becky up on her shoulders and they went over the rope.
Yes.
And then she landed on her feet and then hit the electric chair drop. Like I think that was like another like highlight of that match.
Mm-hmm.
And then you know the finish of the match, the riptide into the turnbuckle and then the second riptide for the 1-2-3.
The riptide into the turnbuckle. I'm like, whoa. And then followed up, she went ahead and immediately did another riptide for the pin. I'm like, wow. That surprised me, yeah.
It was a good match. Like overall, it was fun.
Right.
And I feel like that was most of the matches on the card. But, I mean, we'll get to that.
Yeah, right? Yeah. The next matchup, was that the tag team?
Yeah, it was the tag team match.
There was a lot. I could not hear any of that pretty deadly stuff. I saw that. I knew that they were setting up who all of the people were, and you could kind of follow it along, but I had no idea what specifically they said.
Right. Watching it in person too, there was so much going on at like some points of the match. It's like you almost like miss some things.
Right.
Like one of the things that I missed in that match was Kofi's trust fall. Mm-hmm. Like I missed that part completely. But it was overall, I think, probably the funnest match of the night, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah. No, I got into it. I was like, I thought it was one of those things because I'm usually not a fan of multi-team matches just because there's a lot of stuff going on, especially multi-team ladder matches where people are out there. But they went a couple of places that I didn't expect, and that made it really good to me. I was not expecting Austin Theory and Grayson Waller. First of all, I wasn't expecting them to win one of the tag titles, and also win it relatively early.
Right. Yeah, it was quick because it seemed it went from Tyler Bates picking up Finn Balor and spinning him with the ladder, and then New Catch Republic hitting the moonsaults
right
with the ladder, and yeah, it went really fast. And then when they won that tag title, like everybody, not everybody, but a lot of boos in that arena.
Yeah.
And I had said to you, like, I think they deserve it. They've both been putting in work for quite some time.
Oh yeah. Yeah. There was, I think for a while, a backlash to Austin Theory because he is good. But he was Vince McMahon's kind of handpicked guy, and that turned him off to a lot of people. And then it seemed like he was being punished for that because he was losing everything to everybody. And then they put him with Waller, and nobody liked Waller to begin with, but they have slowly, like as a team, been getting better and right. better.
And I think Waller, after winning the tag titles, getting powerbombed through the ladder that was set up
right.
between the ring and the
commentary. Right. Yeah.
That was an awesome moment. And I think it was like in that moment, I think you and I both had the, are they going to separate the titles?
Yes.
Kind of moment. Like we looked at each other, which excited me because that's something I have personally wanted for a while.
I think a lot of people have.
Yeah. Just for, you know, each brand to have the tag titles again, instead of, you know, jumping back and forth to defend. I think that's overall like healthier for the brands.
Right. But the highlight for me is Awesome Truth, and especially R-Truth. That guy deserves everything. Doing the tag spot when everybody's like, and then the crowd getting into it when The Miz tags him and he comes in and does the John Cena thing.
Right. I think one thing I want to say, you know, R-Truth is probably the best comedy wrestler of all time.
Yes.
And I think at this point that's undisputable. And that was one of the highlights for me. But storytelling-wise, when it came to the end, R-Truth, you know, dealt with Priest. Right. So that was like the story of when they wouldn't let him into the judgment
day. Right.
So I thought that was like a really good storytelling moment, you know, and then winning the title, like that was a loud pop in the arena.
It was.
It was loud.
It was. Yeah, definitely one of the highlights for that. Then, just a aside for you folks who watch it at home, at that point, they go to a video package, and what's happening is they're cleaning up everything from ringside as well as changing the canvas. About every couple of matches, they would tear off the top canvas or take off the top canvas, and there's another canvas underneath. But from there, what was the next match that we had?
Was Rey Mysterio and Andrade versus Santos and Domino.
Yeah.
Dominic, sorry.
Yeah. Dirty Dom earned his boos. Ray was extremely over. I was impressed with some of the moves Andrade did. I mean, he was just like hitting the dives, hitting all of this. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was just amazing to me.
For me personally, I felt like this was kind of like the low point of the match card. Yeah. I wasn't really into this match. And it's not because I dislike any of them, you know, except for Dom. But because I love Rey Mysterio. Right. I love him. Because when his music hit, like, we stood
up. Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
But it just felt like it was several storylines within one.
Right.
The father-son storyline.
Right.
And then the master-pupil storyline.
Right.
Between Rey and...
That's what it was. That's the highlight package they were showing while they were cleaning up. And you're right. There was a lot on there. They talked about the master pupil storyline and like taking out Carlito, and they showed all of that, and they showed Dom coming out and all of that. I will say the ending probably played better on TV than it did live, because at first we had no idea who those people
right.
were coming
yeah,
out.
Yeah, exactly. But I will say, you know, after we found out who they were, like, that arena went crazy.
Yes,
for
yes.
Jason Kelce,
yeah,
you know, former Eagles player,
right?
But I feel like that was, like, for me, like, the highlight of the match was
right
Jason Kelce
and John. Yeah, that's the that was for the local fans, and it wouldn't have hurt anybody, because the people at home would say, oh, that's who that is, and that's why they're there. Yeah,
right.
All right, from there where do we go?
Jey Uso versus Jimmy Uso.
Now, online, I will say this. A lot of people have not liked this, the people that watched it at home.
I can agree to a point. I'll say I love Jey Uso, and mm-hmm. I love how he's really come into his own.
Right.
He got the fans behind him, just that yeet chant, like the energy in that arena for him last night was
right.
insane. But I can see why people didn't like the match or criticize it, I'll say. Because it was a very slow-paced match.
It was.
And it was just super kicks and splashes. And then it was just a lot of standing around yelling at each other.
Mm-hmm.
So I can see why people didn't like it. People were very happy with the outcome.
Yes.
At least in the arena.
Right, yeah.
But I definitely understand. It was very slow paced. It started off fast with the dive, the suicide dive, before the bell rang.
Yes. That was going to be that was a highlight for me, because at first I didn't understand. I'm like, why are they having Jey come out first? I thought they'd have Jimmy come out first, and that would make the pop for Jey so much bigger mm-hmm. when he comes out. But then Jimmy comes out, Jay's already in the ring, and he hits the dive. I'm like, that's why they did it.
Exactly why. But yeah, I mean, it was okay. It was fun. Like, especially the fan engagement, like I said, just all the yeet chants. And if you could just see how many arms were going up in
right.
front of us, it was okay. I'm not going to say it was bad, because it wasn't bad by no means.
Right.
But I understand people's criticisms of the match.
Right. After that, lights go down, and I told you saw Jimmy and Jey. You weren't, I guess, supposed to notice and all that. They went to the corner where later on, if you're watching it online, where Mama Rose was, that's where all of the families watched their family members match. So I'm assuming that their family was both there, and they both like had a hug or congratulations or something like that before they got out, which is fine. Everybody knows it is what it is at that point. But speaking of family, I was wondering if they just stayed there, because their daughter-in-law is up next. You had the Kabuki Warriors and Damage Control versus Jade, Naomi, and Bianca. Another really great match. We saw the, I don't know what they're called, the women with the fans come out to do the Damage Control thing. And they do all that, and then while they follow them to the ring, at first, because we were so far up, I thought that they were like actors, but it was actually Jade, Bianca, and Naomi come. They get on that little platform, they raise them up, and then you see them lit up, and they come down, and they do their entrance. And I thought they were going to get three separate entrances. They got real quick, each got their own entrances before they come down.
But the pop for Jade Cardgill, deserved.
Yeah.
Really. I mean, for all three women, deserves. But Jade coming from AEW.
Right.
You know, how fans are. They tend to, you know, we don't like the other companies.
So. Right. And she's not a good wrestler. I'm not saying she's a great wrestler. I would not put her in either women's title match. I would not have done that. She would have been lost, I think, against any of those. But in this situation, she looked very good. Everybody had their place in this match. Everybody hit their thing.
And I think that was the point of it.
That was absolutely the point.
The point of it is to make Jade look strong. And to give her that time to lose some of the green,
right,
as they say. The part where Bianca whipped Asuka with her hair,
yes,
that sounded like a shotgun in the arena.
It did.
That was loud.
Yeah.
And that was probably like the highlight of the match for me.
Mm-hmm.
Just because it was like, that sounded like that hurt.
Right.
But yeah, I think for what it was, it did its job to make Jade Cardgill look strong. And then, you know, Bianca Belair always looks incredible no matter what she does. She is one of my favorites.
Right. You know? But I think it also sets up, regardless of where they go in the future, you can have Jade versus any member of Damage Control, or versus Bianca or Naomi, if they go, whoever turns or wherever they go.
Right.
You got so many stories you can go forward from here. All right. Then what was our next match?
What's the Intercontinental?
Intercontinental Championship. The match of the night for me.
I probably agree with you. Yeah. I love both Sammy and Gunther
right.
a lot. I think they're both incredible stars.
This was a very well-paced back-and-forth match with just some amazing spots and telling a solid story about Sammy going for the Huluva kick several times and not getting it or missing it or getting countered or something until the end.
And Sammy coming into the match being the underdog.
Right.
I mean, Gunther held that title for 666 days,
right.
Longest reigning intercontinental champion of all time. I thought everything about the match was executed perfectly. You had Sammy come out. He met his wife.
Mm-hmm.
Then he met Chad Gable, which almost sets up like a hey, you owe me type thing
right.
for the future. And then met Kevin Owens. And then comes out to a massive pop.
Right.
Like, I think he probably got the biggest pop of the night. It was either him or in the main event.
Like, absolutely.
But, you know, he came in and he comes out strong at first, like, almost like countering everything that, like, Gunther was trying to throw at him.
Right.
But then Gunther just took over. Once he caught him in that German suplex,
yes,
like he took over from there. And then, you know, hitting that brutal clothesline. Like that, I love. That's like shades of JBL right there.
Yes.
Hitting that clothesline. And then when he hit him with the first powerbomb and Sammy kicked out, like just the look on his face.
Right.
Like, holy crap. Like,
right.
Like that just showed like real emotion. Like it was awesome. And then from there on out, it just became Gunther's downfall because he started toying with them, started taunting Sammy's wife.
Right.
And then when Sammy finally did hit that Huluva kick, and, you know, got the two fall, and then Gunther hit that triple power bomb.
Right.
And then the splashes, and like I said, taunting, Sammy's wife even more. It's like in that moment, you're like, you knew he wasn't walking out champion.
The only thing I did not like about the match were the splashes. I mean, he hit them okay. They just don't look good, and they didn't look like very powerful to me.
Right, and he's not that type of guy.
He's not that type of wrestler, yeah.
But and then when Sammy got up and hit that Huuva kick, and then the brainbuster to yes. the turnbuckle, we were both like, this is it.
Yeah.
And then he hit the two more Huuva kicks, and then 1, 2, 3. That place exploded.
Yeah. But it set Sammy up as, you know, the underdog. He's finally won it. And you can go a lot of different places from there. I think Gunther is now freed up to do stuff for any of the world titles that he wants.
Oh, absolutely.
The conventional thinking, and it's just this, because we don't know what's going to happen tonight, would be to put the world title on Drew and then set up Drew and Gunther for either the Bash in Berlin or Clash at the Castle.
Which I think either of those would be like an amazing...
Or both. Right. I mean, who's to say they can't do both? But yeah, match of the night. I'd say either that or the main event. Is that the next one?
That is the next one. I will say too, I wanted Gunther to retain because I'm a Sammy fan too.
Yeah, right.
You know, so it wasn't like I was upset or anything that he lost. Storytelling wise, I think it makes sense because Gunther's at the point, like we established, that he needs to go into the world title scene,
right?
Because as dominant as he has been, I mean, it's world title time,
right? So we finally get to the main event, and earlier in the night, they show a video of Cody leaving his bus with his outfit. He's dressed in a suit, and he's got his outfit. As best as I could tell, at least at the time, it was like it seemed to be like a 70-30 or 60-40 split. Mostly Cody, but the Bloodlines does have his fans, and Roman has his fans.
Oh, yeah.
So that was interesting. Cody out first, tremendous ovation.
Huge, huge pop. And just singing along with his song.
Right.
I mean, even I started singing.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was, I'm a Cody Rhodes guy.
Yeah. You know. Then Seth gets a great reaction. I think Cody's was bigger, but Seth knew his exact role in this match. And unless you did something like Seth turning on Cody, which helps neither man because of what happens tonight, because then regardless of the outcome, they're not facing each other tonight. Right. So.
And I will say the thing about Seth too, and not to take anything away from him, but just like what the fans chant is just an easy thing to chant. So
into the song.
Everybody can just get into it because it's so easy to go along with.
Then Seth comes out and they milk that song because of the reaction for a long time. And Seth comes in dressed like the peacock or whatever it was that he was wearing for a long time because they're setting up the Brahma Bull to be on fire. Then The Rock, the final boss music hits, and if you smell what The Rock is cooking, he comes out, the Brahma Bull catches on fire around him. He's got the People's Championship, and he walks down with that. He gets in, and there were some Rock. They were definitely Rock fans in the house. Then Roman comes down with Paul. Paul gets a good pop because of the Hall of Fame stuff and being in Philly, and he's the greatest at what he's doing now. There's nobody better than him.
Agreed, 100%.
Roman has his fan. Roman looked tremendous and all of that. We finally get started. It seemed to me that they were kind of feeling each other out because they realized we've got a lot of stuff to do. Nobody can hurt themselves for what we have tomorrow. I get that. But eventually, they get into it. And right. The crowd was into it. And then the more that they kind of went into different spots, the more the crowd went into it. And it was a 45 minute match. Well, 44 minutes and 30 some seconds. Let's say 45 minute match. 2/3 of the way in, maybe after the beginning, you saw the setup, and then 2/3 of the way in, you saw Rock hone in. Oh, Mama Rose is over there, and then that brings a different aspect to it.
Right. Yeah. For me personally, I felt like this one was probably the hardest to talk about, because after they did get into the ring, it was a very slow start, actually.
Yes.
It was slow start until The Rock was tagged in. And then when The Rock was tagged in, that's when all hell kind of broke loose, when they took it, you know, outside the ring. And The Rock, you know, tells the ref, don't you count, or I'll fire you.
Yeah, don't count. That is the biggest problem I had with this match. Not that they went outside, it's that they went in two different directions. And we didn't know which way to look, because the video is showing you mostly The Rock and Seth stuff, but Cody and Roman are beating the hell out of each other on the ramp,
and then up on the stage.
On the stage.
And that was one of my gripes with it, was because while the camera was on Rock and Seth Rollins,
yeah,
he hit him with the trash can, but at the same time, Cody suplexed Roman on the stage.
Yes, so, and nobody saw it, because I'm paying attention to the video board and also trying to follow them with my eyes, just to, in case, you know, because there's no Solo. And everybody's like, is Solo coming out? Are they saving Solo for tomorrow? Is Solo even here? Everybody, I'm like, is this when Solo comes out? Is somebody else going to come out? What's going to happen here? And then coming back, I saw this, but this happened at the same time as whatever they were showing, because now I'm looking at Cody and I'm looking at Roman. They get back halfway down and Roman throws Cody off the entrance way into the side. And I said, did you see that?
Which I missed.
You missed. Because
I was looking at Rock and Seth.
Mm-hmm. So that was the only gripe that I had. But when they get back to the ring, that's when the match really picks up.
I agree. It was almost like that first 15 minutes we kind of had to power through that slowness. But once it got back to the ring, that's when Rock and Roman started targeting Rollins' knees.
Right.
And then that's when it felt like it picked up, you know, keeping Cody away, beating on Seth until he hit the kick.
Right.
And then got Cody in the ring. And then from there on out, it was just like, it just felt like it was faster pace. Cody, you know, hitting the Cody cutter on Rock. I think that was a huge pop.
That was, yeah.
And then doing the crossroads, I think it was twice.
He did it twice and went for the third time. And
then Rock whipped him with the
belt. I'm going to try to get this in order, because there was just so many memorable moments.
It was just so, like it said, after it picked up, it was just so fast paced.
Rock holding Cody and Roman setting up for the spear. Everybody thought that Cody was going to duck and Roman hit Rock with the spear. Instead, Seth dives and pulls Cody out of the way and Roman hits Rock with the spear. That's what I was saying. This is like, Seth knows this is my job. Everybody knows it is choreographed, it's set up, they know the script and all that. But if you were looking at it, I try to suspend your disbelief. And like in the storyline, Seth is like, this is my job. I need to protect Cody, because they're trying to do that. We saw it in a couple of counts, Rock pulling the referee out or telling the ref not to count and doing all this. And then they go outside. You see the typical clearing off the announce desk. Then Roman spears.
No, Cody hit the Rock bottom on Rock through the table
through
first.
Through the table first.
And then Roman hit the spear through the barricade.
And that kind of takes Seth out for the rest of the match.
Right.
But then I still thought, well, even with that, they're going to try to do Cody winning. And I'm like, but then that doesn't set up anything for night two. No interference.
And I think, personally for me, I think it's better storytelling for them to lose. Because not only does it do the storytelling for if Cody wins tonight?
Right.
That's better storytelling, like to more to overcome. But it also sets up storytelling for Seth too, going into his match with Drew.
Oh yeah, because the knee was targeted, he went through the barricade, and from that point on, for the rest of the night, when you saw Seth, he's like crawling, and he like even crawled back to check on Cody afterwards, and he's still selling everything, and he may be reasonably hurt. We don't know.
But. Right, because of, you know, the reports coming into Mania of the actual damage to the knee. But no, I think overall it became a really fun, good match after that, you know, that first slow start to it. And after that, it just became explosive. That's the best way to explain it. It did become very explosive. They hit big moments that everybody needed to hit. And then we didn't even mention when Rock went to hit the people's elbow the first time and he pulled off his elbow pad, that arena went crazy just for him pulling it off. That was a good moment too.
And then I'm trying to remember, did Roman hit the spear and then tag Rocky in? Roman hit a big move and tagged Rocky in, and then Rocky did the rock bottom and the elbow.
I can't remember if it was the Superman punch or if it was this. I think it was the spear.
I think so too.
And then
Rocky gets tagged in, and he's like, this one's for you, Mama Rose. And he hits the people's elbow, 1, 2, 3. And I told you, I looked back and Michael Cole says Cody is screwed because now we're going in bloodline rules. Bloodline.
Bloodline rules.
Anything goes. And then somebody said it this morning on Twitter. I still call it Twitter. I don't say I'm on X.
Twitter X. Same thing.
Everybody knows what you're talking about. Nobody has not paid any attention to please leave the stadium in an orderly manner like they did last night. We crawled, not crawled, but we inched our way along the promenade until we get to the steps. And that's when I counted the steps going down. That wasn't that bad. It was a little crowded getting out there, but it wasn't bad once we actually got out of Lincoln Financial Field.
And it was only so crowded trying to get out because everybody was waiting for the escalator instead of just taking the steps. Because once we got past that wall, we were just going normal paced.
Right. And we get out and 20, 30 minutes actually leaving and trying to inch along, trying to get in. There was a couple of nice people. And then we finally get away and the ride back here wasn't bad. We get back into the hotel and we're going to get on the elevator, and I saw and recognized Keithy Langston and Peter Winston from Greetings from Allentown, and Keithy doing A La Carte with Keithy and his history podcast on the Place to Be Nation, and all those guys were there. So we sat down and introduced ourselves and talked to them for a while and talked about tonight. And I think Keithy has it exactly right. The Cody Roman match is going to be like Avengers Endgame, because if it's anything goes, everybody's going to be involved.
Right.
You probably are going to see Jimmy. Heyman's out there anyway, because I don't think they would, you know, even if it was blocked, Heyman would probably still come to the thing. Solo's going to be involved. The Rock's going to be out there. And then you're going to see, I think he's exactly right, everybody who's had anything to do with the bloodline and all of that. You may see Sammy, LA Knight. You may see John Cena. You may see Stone Cold, because he still got something against The Rock.
Right. And if we do see those, imagine the non-existent roof on the stadium is going to blow off.
Right. Especially when he said something and your eyes pop. Keithy said, can you imagine if the lights go out and you hear the bong? and they come back on and the Undertaker's in the center of the ring.
I will have a heart attack.
I hope not, because I'm going to have to get you out of there. But I am absolutely looking forward to it. I'm not going to ask you about every match, because we're coming back, and I've already asked you, we're talking about tomorrow, night two tomorrow, before we head out. But a couple of the matches, I want both world titles. What do you think happens between Seth and Drew?
I think Drew takes it. And I think Drew takes it because he didn't really get to have his WrestleMania moment back because of COVID. Right. And I think it's deserved to him, in my opinion. And I think right now he's doing some of his best work he's ever done. Like, the heel, the whole...
Absolutely.
The memes on CM Punk. I mean, it's been good. He's been doing a good job with the storytelling and being that heel character that he can be. So I do think Drew comes out champion. And that's what I hope, too. I like Seth. I don't want people to think that I have something against him. I don't. Because he is genuinely one of my favorite wrestlers, too. But I just think it's owed to Drew for missing out on his true moment that he should have had.
And somebody said online somewhere, I can't remember where it is, we went from, like, he was at the end of his contract. You didn't know if he was going to re-sign or what they were going to do with him. He had been kind of wasted. And then I think he re-signed and they still didn't know what to do with him. And he took this moment, because this was originally, from everything that I've heard, night one was supposed to end with Seth versus CM Punk. And night two was supposed to be Cody and Roman. Punk goes down with the injury, and Drew McIntyre says, "Give me the ball, I will run with it." And he brings out this character, like, you know what? I prayed for this moment and all of that, and runs with it.
And just posting the memes on Twitter. And I think that's what has really turned him into just an awesome heel character. I mean, that one that he's down by the grave, CM Punk doing the peace sign. Like, right. That's one of my favorites.
And the t-shirt. And then the main event. I can't imagine anything else going on last. Cody versus Roman. Does Cody finish the story?
I believe so, yes. And not just because I want it to, but because I think it's better storytelling. And because I think people are getting to the point, and have been for a while, that they're tired of one person holding the title as long as they have, and really not defending it a lot, just only at like major, I mean like the really major events.
Right.
So yeah, I think I gotta give it to Cody. And also because Roman has been doing the whole teasing, that, you know, if he loses, he's done. Which I don't think he's done, but I think he probably would take a break for a while. That's what I think.
Okay. I agree. I would love to see what happens and how we're going to get there. I don't see, although if they make a compelling case, and for some reason, I don't see how it can be a compelling case with Cody losing this year, after last year. I didn't think it was a compelling case that he lost last year, because I'm like, they're like, oh, they can take it off at any time. I'm like, I don't see it except at WrestleMania. And somehow they made it work. They did all their stuff last year. I don't see it being beyond this.
Right. And I look at the entire buildup of the year to this WrestleMania. It's like Cody Rhodes had proven himself over the entire year why he should be the one to take the title. I mean, winning the Rumble for the second time for one, beating Brock Lesnar two out of three times?
Yeah.
Because I think Brock won.
Won the second match, yeah.
And it just like, he had a very dominant year. It's like, this is the guy, and look how over he is with the fans, mm-hmm. You know? So I look at it this way. If Roman walks out of WrestleMania tonight still as champion, it's like, where do you go? I mean, it to me, it's like eventually against Rock somehow, but do we go another full year before that story is like comes to an end or whatever happens with it? And then also you have to look at, in that year, who are you building up to be the guy to eventually beat after that event, right? If you know what I mean.
Right.
If you understand what I'm saying.
Sure.
So it's like almost you would be taking it 2 years to build somebody up. And it's like, that's just too long, in my opinion. Because at that point, it becomes, what, 5.5, 6 years or something like
right.
that? He would be champion. And that's just way too long for the modern era of wrestling.
Right.
You know, we had talked earlier, back in the day when it was, you know, Bob Backlund or Hogan. I mean, people got tired of it then too, mm-hmm. but it was a different age then.
Right.
You know, back then you really relied on somebody to carry the company. It's not like that now.
No.
The company is already very well established, a global reach.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't see Roman just holding the title for that long. I can't.
I agree. So what are your final thoughts about night one?
Overall good. I feel like it was more good than bad. Like I said, there was only really like, you know, the two matches that were the quick and easy one, the women's 3-on-3.
Yeah.
And then Ray.
The Ray match. Yeah.
I mean, other than that, well, and I guess too, the Jimmy and Jay, that one was kind of not including the fan reaction and interaction with the match, of course, because that was I thought was over. Overall, I'd say if I was to grade it like a F through an A, I'd say it was like a B plus.
I agree. Yeah, I agree.
It was good.
That was going to be mine. I go back and forth A minus or B plus. B plus is a really good grade for that. So we will look forward to see what night two brings us. You can follow me on Twitter at Cup of Joe Pod. You can email the show, Cup of Joe Wrestling Show at gmail.com. If you like the show, please leave a review on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, or your preferred podcast app. We will be back with night two next time. Thank you very much.
The Cup of Joe Wrestling Show is a production of Baby Kangaroo Media.